Welcome to this edition of the Pepperdine People Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Gibson. This series captures some of the outstanding learning and outreach opportunities available here at Pepperdine. Each episode features interviews with exceptional members of our community and the special people who visit our campus.
Thank you for joining us for episode 25 of Pepperdine People. I'm Blake Edwards, and I'm joined today by Dr. Oz Guinness. Oz, thank you for being here, and welcome to Malibu.
Thank you. My pleasure.
It's good to have you with us. You brought your wife along with you, and you guys are staying at a house on the beach, I hear. So I have to ask, are you taking advantage of this opportunity and extending your stay for a little vacation time?
Unfortunately, we have to do a little bit of work while we're here, but we're loving it.
It's good. We're definitely glad to have you here. Oz, I'm going to ask you a difficult question because what you do is hard to describe. But if you had to sum up a job description of what you do in a few words, how would you do it?
I'm an author and a social critic. And at the moment, my actual job, I'm senior fellow at the East-West Institute in Manhattan, New York, working on a project on freedom of conscience internationally.
All right. You wrote a book entitled The Call, Finding and Fulfilling the Central Purpose of Your Life. Was there a moment in your life where you felt called to do what you do, or is it something that sort of evolved, you think?
Well, if you read the book, my notion of calling is more entrepreneurial. The Lord has called us to be followers of Jesus, to live His way, and so on. But there are many issues in life in which He doesn't tell us exactly what to do. And calling is different from guidance. Guidance is where we're taught specifically, explicitly, what we're to do or what we're not to do. But often calling is entrepreneurial in the sense, like the men with the talents and the pounds, they were given 1, 2, 5, 10, and they were not told what to do. There was no micromanagement, no supervision, and then they were praised or blamed at the end by what they'd done in His absence. So in the same way, calling is figuring out what are the gifts God has given us and the opportunities in life He's given us, and what are we doing with those entrepreneurially. So yes, it was in my mid-20s when I was liberated from the old evangelical idea that if you were all out for Jesus, you were a minister or a missionary or something like that. In other words, the so-called spiritual was higher than the so-called secular, whereas that's wrong. There's as much a calling in being a lawyer or a computer scientist or a high school teacher or an astronaut or a politician as there is in being a minister.
Oz, you're also quite the world citizen. You're of Irish descent. Born in China, educated in England. How did you end up in the United States?
Well, that, now you ask me, was a very specific call. Only once in my life have I heard the actual words audibly of the Lord. I came here to do research for 6 months with my wife, and we were ready to go back to Europe. And I heard the call of the Lord telling me we were to be here. That's the only time in my life something specific and explicit that was audible like that.
Specifically in Washington, D.C., where you are now?
No, just basically to leave Europe and come to the U.S. and do whatever I show you to do. And it hasn't been easy. We often say it's been the hardest years of our life, but I'm glad to be here. America's at a very crucial time in the history of the Republic. The church in America is at a very crucial time, and we're humble to be able to throw half a cent's worth into the pot.
Well, I'm glad that you're doing that personally. In 1991, you founded something called the Trinity Forum, and the Trinity Forum website lists William Wilberforce as an influence on the Trinity Forum. Is Wilberforce someone that influenced you personally? And if not Wilberforce, then who are the big influences on you?
Of the heroes in the past, Wilberforce is one of my greatest. He was a friend. He was born the same year that the Guinness Brewery was founded, 250 years ago this year, 1759. And he was a friend of my great-great-grandfather, who was a strong Christian as well as the brewer. And so I've known his story ever since I was a boy, and other people like Lord Shaftesbury, who was also a great friend of our family. So he certainly is a hero. He is the greatest social reformer in all human history, and in many ways the pioneer of what we now call the civil society movement, or the pioneer of the human rights movement. He wouldn't have called it that, but he was a strong follower of Jesus, so he certainly is a great hero. And part of the point of Wilberforce is that when he came to faith, 26, he was a politician, best friend of the youngest prime minister when Britain was coming into its greatest power. He thought, I'm now a Christian, I should become a minister. Mercifully, a minister, John Newton, stopped him, said, no, stay where you are and see what God wants you to do, and the rest is history. What he called the abolition of slavery and the so-called reformation of manners, all that he did in the remaining 47 years of his life, because he didn't become a minister. His calling was to be a politician. Now, someone is called to the ministry. That's their gift. Wilberforce is a politician. I'm a writer and social critic. We each have our different callings.
You mentioned that Wilberforce did have, as he put it, two different callings, the ending of the slave trade and then what he called the Reformation of Manners, sort of commenting on British society generally. You've done a little bit of that yourself, commenting on American culture and society. Tough question. One thing that's right with American culture today and one thing that is wrong with American culture today.
Let me put it like this. I don't think there's any crisis that America faces, problem that America must tackle, that can't be solved by going back to the first principles that the framers put in place. The problem is we've abandoned them. The first principles, religious liberty and many others, are brilliant. They weren't always right. Take, say, race or the place of women. They were badly wrong on that. But when it came to most of them, and certainly religious liberty, they were right. So there's nothing wrong today that can't be put right by a return to first principles. But the trouble is America today has gone a long way. Religious liberty, freedom, all sorts of areas, gone a long way from the founding fathers. And that's America's trouble.
Oz, thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure to have you speak at the law school, and it's going to be a pleasure to hear you speak at the Veritas Forum tonight. I hope you enjoy your time in Malibu.
Thank you. My pleasure.